And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. That mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. For many years, I longed to see the consolation of Israel. Oh, how I wish I could have seen him the night he was born, as he was laid in a manger. But I did see the Messiah. On the eighth day at the temple, as it was the custom of the Jews. Oh, I'm sorry. Where are my manners? I am Simeon. It was for the last 94 years prior to the events that I will share with you today, I was a citizen of the most holy and beautiful city on the earth, the city of Jerusalem. As a citizen of that city, I would go daily to the temple if I was not ill all my life, and I would worship the Lord there. The temple was a magnificent structure. I wish you could have seen it in all of its beauty. And yet, I confess to you all, for the magnificence of it, there was nothing there at all that would compare to the magnificence of the God that I had the opportunity to worship there every day. But I'm ahead of myself in my story. During those 94 years, Jerusalem was an unusual place. You might even say it was a strange place. You see, after the Babylonian captivity had ended, it was as if it had cured our people, and they had no longer worshipped idols, but neither did they particularly seek the face of God. No, ritualism, and what you would call today legalism, had taken over our people. Neither was intended for evil, because the rituals of the temple were themselves designed to call our attention towards the truths about God. And in addition to that, legalism, while unfortunate in the way that it played itself out, even that was designed to maintain a moral and ethical standard. Because after all, our God, he was a moral and ethical God, was he not? And so it was tragic to see what had happened to our people. I lived in a period that I understand you Christians called the silent years. And by that you mean that there was no direct revelation from God in those days, from the time at the close of Malachi's prophecy until the coming of John the Baptist. It was thought that by many that God did not speak. But you should not be misled by that. For God did speak to those of us who were faithful and sought his face. He still spoke. And I remember, for example, when I was 85. Oh, dear. I think it was 85. But you see, at my age, you forget many things. I was about 85 years of age, and I walked to the temple, as was my custom one morning. Arriving at the temple, my heart was heavy. Because along the way, as I walked to the temple, I saw our people busy with this and busy with that. Involved over here, involved over there. And forgetting altogether that they were the chosen people of God. That God had chosen them for a reason. It was gone from their minds altogether. My heart was heavy, but I went to my usual place, walking through the court of the women, and arriving in the court of Israel, I stood there for just a moment, and I looked at the beauty of the temple. And then passing beyond it, I came to my private place, where very few people went, and I stood there, and I prayed. But my heart was still heavy. It was at that moment that I spotted a dear friend of mine who happened to be a scribe. So I approached him because he had such a grasp of the Torah and of the things of the Lord. And I approached him and I said, "Do you have a word from the Lord for me today? One that would assist me in my heavy-heartedness?" He said, "Simeon, you seem to be with a heavy heart this day." I thought, how could he tell? But he was right, and I could not protest it. He said, "Instead of the Torah today, I want you to read a prophet of God." And he handed me the scroll of Isaiah the prophet. Across the years, I've read Isaiah before. I've read it all before. But for some reason that day, as I read Isaiah, it was as though the words of Isaiah the prophet thundered in my ears. I distinctly remember reading how the prophet said, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive, and a son will be born, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." I also read that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son shall be given. I could see them written on the scrolls before me. But it was more than that, I tell you. It was more than that. It was more. It was as if God was speaking through the prophet. And as I listened, suddenly, I knew I was not alone. You've had the feeling before, I'm sure. I just knew I was not alone. So I looked to see who was there. And there was only one other worshiper some distance off, and he was clearly unconcerned with me. And so intuitively I looked up. And it was then that I felt God speak. You will notice I did not say that I heard God speak. It was far more profound than that. When God speaks in such a way that you do not hear him, but that you feel him speak, you cannot avoid the impression that it makes. He said, "Simeon, you are an old man." That was obvious. "You have spent all these years faithfully serving me." He asked, "What is it that you are reading in the prophet?" I said, "Lord, I was reading in the prophet Isaiah about the birth of a child. Unto you, unto us, a child is given. Unto you, a child is born. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." My heart warmed as I read those words. He said, "Simeon, you long to see the Messiah, do you not?" What man was there in Israel who did not long to see the Messiah? And it was as though God could read my thoughts. And he said, "Yes, but Simeon, you have served me in justice. And you are longing to see the Messiah. I have a word for you today, Simeon. You shall not see death until you see the Lord's Christ." He said, "Simeon, before long you must come home to be with me. But before you do, you will see the Lord Christ." Well, I may have been an old man, but I walked home that day with a hop in my step that I had not had in quite some time. Oh, I would see the Messiah. What everyone longed to do, I would see the Messiah. But the days passed. And the days became weeks, and the weeks rolled on, and the weeks became months, and the months went by, and the months, they became years. It did not sway my faith. I would still regularly go to the temple, and I would seek the face of God, and I would serve him to the very best of my abilities. But there was no further communication of that sort at all. I began to question the reality of it all. I can be forgiven, can I not? I thought that maybe it was a dream. Maybe it did not really happen. I thought, I cannot live much longer. I could feel in my bones the approach of death. And so I wondered. So I went to bed one night, and I awoke early the next morning. And as I attempted to get out of bed, it was as though the bedding clutched at me and would not let me go. And I knew that I would not be much longer in this world. And then suddenly, I was not alone. I knew that no one else was in the house. You see, I have two sons, and they have their own business, but they live far away in Corinth. And I have a daughter, but she resides in Alexandria, and I have no one else around, no one at all. The only other thing that is in my house was my pet goat. And so I looked to her, and you could tell by the expression on her face that she knew we were not alone. I knew to wait. And before long, I felt the voice of God again. And he said, "Simeon, I promised you that you would see the Lord Christ. Simeon, that day has come. Simeon, go to the temple today. You will see the Messiah. Well, I must have been a funny sight. I only but half dressed, and the rest of the way to the temple, I put the rest of my clothing on. And as I was passing by, an old friend of mine, he said, Simeon, come and sit with me. I have pomegranate juice that is imported from Persia, and it's the best there is. Come and join me. I said, not today, dear friend, not today. On normal circumstances, yes, but not today. Today, I dare not miss the temple. So I made my way to the temple. Only as soon as I got there to think to myself as I walked into its precincts, what am I to look for? Would the Messiah come riding in on a magnificent white stallion? Would the Messiah be seen as a teenage boy? What am I to look for? I do not know. People were coming and people were going. How would I know when the Messiah came? And then suddenly, I was not alone. And I waited, and I waited. And God said, Simeon, in a few moments, a young couple with a look of poverty will approach you with a baby in their arms. That little baby is God's Messiah. And I remembered from the text of Isaiah, unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born. I waited, I'm sure, for only a few minutes, but it seemed as if the passing of the years was taking place. How long before they would come? And suddenly, from the side, where I had not observed them before, they began to approach. And I approached them, and I extended my arms. Mary, the mother, as I found out later, looked amazed. Joseph, the supposed father, didn't really know what to do. But when they saw my arms extended, it was as though some voice spoke to them also. And they did what I'm sure under normal circumstances, no normal human being would ever do. They extended the little baby and they put him in my arms. I looked into the face of the Messiah. With my own tears, I bathed the face of God. As I held him in my arms, I recalled again the words of Isaiah. Unto us a child is given. Unto us a son is born. Can you believe it? This little baby, the government shall be upon his shoulders. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end. I could scarcely believe the mercies of God. And his name shall be Wonderful Counselor. His name shall be called the Mighty God. Can you think it? This little baby in my arms, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And oh, how our people needed it. The Prince of Peace, the Tsar Shalom. I began to praise God, and I said, now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace, as you have promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. God had fulfilled his promise to me. I have seen the Lord's Christ, the consolation of Israel. In my arms was God's salvation. Not one who would usher in salvation. No, he was salvation. This little baby, God incarnate, was salvation to his people. Mary and Joseph were amazed at the things that I was saying about this child. So I looked to them and I offered them a blessing. And then again, I gazed into the eyes of the little baby in my arms. I never wanted the moment to end. I could have simply stood there forever and held that little baby. Although it was many years away that I had been accustomed to handling a baby. But nonetheless, Mary and Joseph seemed eager to get along with their activities, to do according to the law, as was the custom for the little baby. And so there was no other choice. So reluctantly, I returned their baby to them. I stood and I watched as they walked away. Oh, my heart was full. It was full to a degree that I cannot dare explain to you today. It was as if God had made a special visitation to me. And I suppose indeed he had. It was as if nothing else mattered anymore. Nothing that I had felt was important anymore. Nothing that I had lived for other than him mattered anymore. My life was changed. In the evening, it was time for me to return home, and so I did. And I remembered going about my activities in my small home that evening until it came time to rest, and I realized just how truly tired I was. But before I slept, I would kneel before the Lord God, and I would thank him for the activities that had taken place that day. I thanked him that I had lived to see the consolation of Israel. I thanked him that I had lived to see God's salvation. What about you? Have you seen God's salvation? You will not see it as I had seen it. You will not get to hold the little baby in your hands, God's Messiah. No, that is not how you will have seen salvation. You see, that little baby, God's Messiah, would grow up. And when the time came in his life, he would begin his ministry. I dare not live to see it. But he would grow up and he would have his ministry. And 3 years, he would take 12 men and he would teach them and he would train them. And he would walk around speaking truths about the kingdom. And he would go and he would do miracles to the people. And they would see. And then he was criticized. And he was condemned to death on a tree. And that little baby that I saw, that I held in my arms, in 33 short years, would be nailed to a tree on behalf of all people to pay their debt of sin that they owed God the Father. And he would become sin on that tree, and he would pay the penalty, and he would die. He would give up his life for you. But he would not stay dead. No, He would be buried in a borrowed tomb where 3 days later he would be risen again and he would conquer death and he would conquer hell. This little baby, God's Messiah, that I held in my arms, that I saw God's salvation, you see as salvation as he hung on that tree and he died for you. And then he rose from the grave. Oh, believer, how I long that you would see the joy in seeing God's salvation. 'Tis a marvelous season, is it not? This Christmas season, you have it very well decorated. But we don't worship the lights. We do not worship the tree. We do not worship the gifts. We don't worship the giver. We worship Jesus. That little baby that was laid in a manger. That piece of wood would be turned into a tree, a cross where he would die. We worship the risen King. That is the reason for the season. And believer, I pray that you too can say with certainty, Master, your servant can depart in peace, for I have seen your salvation. Friend, if you have not seen God's salvation, I pray that today would be the day. You see, this season is more than the lights, as I have said. It's more than the pomp and the circumstances. It is about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, God's Messiah. Friend, if you have not seen God's salvation, today can be your day. You will have an opportunity here in a moment as Jeremy and the band closes us through song. You will have a moment to come and you can kneel here at the altar. You can speak with myself or another elder. Today is the day of salvation. Christmas time. It's the greatest holiday there is. Sure, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's fun to see all the lights. It's fun to give presents. It's fun to see the children's smiles on their faces as they unwrap the gifts that are under the tree. But God our Father gave the best gift. Over 2,000 years ago. And that gift can still be received today. And if you would stand, we're going to close through song. Come and do business with God today. Come and meet the Savior. Thank you.